Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This is a HeadGum Podcast. Welcome to A Few Things, where we give our greatest discoveries the podcast they deserve.
One of my favorite discoveries right now on ofakind.com, we're doing this quick hit product.
You have 15 seconds.
15 seconds.
Should I
okay.
get my timer ready?
Maybe.
All right, let's see how you do.
Okay.
Okay. You can't do seconds.
You can't?
No.
We'll just do countdown from 1 minute.
Oh, okay, you're right. Okay. All right. Go.
Okay. So the PE Round 1 sweatshirt, that was our professional enthusiast first release. I wore it to the U.S. Open a while ago. Yes. And one of our former employees, Michelle, emailed me and was like, oh, my God, I'm buying this for NFL kickoff because it's just like such a good way of screaming fan
Done.
Without team.
Hey, that was really good.
Thank you
that
so much.
That was great.
Use the code A Few Things for 10% off your
Wait,
sweatshirt
you
order.
You ended it on a really poetic note.
Thank you.
Although you were 0.68 seconds over your time limit when you said it, I'd still like to honor it.
Yeah.
You said it's such a great way to, what did you say?
To say fan without saying team.
Wow.
Thank you. You would think that I had written that down, but no, I just.
Did Michelle write that or you wrote that in your head?
When I'm thinking about the 15 seconds, was trying to summarize. But Michelle
Great
wrote
work.
A wonderful email about this. Everybody's like, now it's way over 15 seconds.
Yeah, it's yeah. true. Sorry. But that was good. We've got a poet
thank
on
you.
Our hands.
Thank you
and
so much. Hey, this is a best of 10 things episode.
I think people, you know, love these best of 10 things episodes.
I do. I think it's fun to talk
I
about
enjoy
these
them.
Things that we get so psyched on. Speaking of professional enthusiasm.
Speaking of, what are you enthused on?
To keep with this theme
yes.
for a moment of the U.S. Open and of tennis and of fandom, the sports bra that Serena Williams swears by, that she has sworn by for a good long time, it's by this brand called Berlay, which is Australian. It is their high-performance, smooth-styling sports bra. And I'm telling you all that.
That was good QVC voice.
Thank you.
You're
I'm telling
welcome.
You all that in case you want to Google it and buy it because it's really good. It's underwire, which, you know.
My friend Bryce, like, 10 times kept emailing and texting to be like, but does she really like that bra? And I'm like, yeah,
yes.
just buy the thing. Try it out. She's like, I want to try it. But like, did she really like it? Or is she just saying that because Serena? And I'm like, no, she really likes it.
Here's what I will say. I'm not just saying it because of Serena. Yeah. And Serena's not just saying it because of endorsements. Because she's been wearing this bra for like 20 years, way before it was even sold in the US and way before she had any sort of endorsement
deal. What do you like
with
about it?
You don't move.
That's great.
It does what a sports bra is supposed to do.
Is it one of those ones that has a clasp?
It has a clasp.
Okay.
It has shoulders. Like it has like
nice.
Sort of like thick bra straps, mm-hmm. shoulder straps. But they're not like broader at the top or mm-hmm. anything. They're not like weirdly padded.
Right. Because the sports bras that get like immediately discarded in my life are the ones that dig in a way where I end up with a migraine because like they have like either like a halter type
yeah,
thing
no, no,
or
no.
there's just like
it doesn't cut in
too
on
tight.
Your neck it doesn't
yeah.
just like doesn't
That's
cut
it.
In
Anything,
anywhere
the ones that cut in on the neck I will get a headache immediately like within 30 minutes of putting it on. It's horrible. And you never know, because it's like, I don't buy the halter ones because those really just,
yeah,
like,
no, I do not like those.
Or it's not like a halter, but like a triangle. You know what,
yeah,
I'm talking,
no,
about.
I know what you mean. A crisscross. Like,
yeah, back. I can't, yeah, get into those. And then, yeah, when it's too tight around, it's just, it's too much.
Yeah. No, this one is wonderful for tennis, for running, for any high impact sort of activities.
High performance.
High performance.
High impact, high performance. Okay. I would like to call out something that I learned about kind of a while ago, but I've been thinking about a lot lately for some reason, which is the medical ID on iPhone, which I just had no idea existed.
Totally.
Until I read about it. But basically, this blogger, Jerry Hirsch, her husband was on a run, had some sort of a medical incident where he basically like passed out cold.
So scary.
So scary. And he got taken to, yeah, the hospital by a Good Samaritan stranger. And it was only basically by chance that hours later, a nurse was able to figure out his wife, Jerry's phone number to contact her and say, your husband's in the hospital. And the nurse told Jerry about this thing, medical ID, which is basically a profile on your iPhone that you can fill out with all of your relevant medical information and
like
your
medications you take,
exactly,
or like whatever. Yeah.
And your emergency contact. And it is the only screen that people can access when your phone is locked and all of the EMTs know about it.
Because the ICE thing that people do, mm-hmm, people can't see that if they don't have your code.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because all phones are locked now. So like, yeah, the ICE thing is only semi-useful.
Right.
But this medical ID screen is accessible to anybody. And obviously anybody who works in the medical profession knows,
gets
about
that,
it,
yeah,
and knows how to find it, which I'm just like, wow, what a life-saving thing and life-changing thing. And so I just, obviously immediately after I learned about it, I went around to all of my friends and family who were like, but did you do this yet? Did you do this? And like made them show it to me on their
phone. You know
what
feels weird to me? That they don't, that when you set up your phone, it's not like part of the automated setup process. Because it does feel like something that we should all just naturally have it part of our, like the programming of the phone, right?
I agree. It seems so critical. And the fact that I didn't even know it existed is,
yeah,
wild to me.
Yeah.
And especially just like all these people who are living in hurricane zones right now, just,
yeah,
like you just never know what's going to happen. It's,
no,
just important to have this information available. Can you bring us to a lighter note?
Yes. It's also related to phones. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's totally
okay. My thing that I discovered on the iPhone, we're like people in our 80s. We're like, so I made the font real big and now it works for me.
Honestly,
so great.
I feel like there's a time in our lives where we would have put that in. Like, did you know you can change the font,
yeah,
size,
totally,
on the iPhone?
Totally. Or in our future lives.
Yeah.
So I realized that in the notes app on the phone, you can make shared notes.
That is actually life changing.
I found this, when I did this with you, you were like, but you should put this in 10 things because I don't think
so
people
good.
Know.
Yeah. Do you know? So Eric and I use it for like little like things that we need to have ongoing brainstorms of.
Yes.
It. But what I actually think it is most life changing for is a shared grocery list.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Luckily, Thomas's phone is so old because it's my old one that doesn't have shared notes. So I can't do any of that.
Oh, Thomas.
Because he has a hand-me-down phone. It's his first iPhone, too.
And his first smartphone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Thomas.
Yeah.
Oh, Thomas.
He's getting there.
It really, like, the number of uses for this thing are insane.
We also have a note called for the memoirs.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, what other ones do we have?
We've had brainstorm things when we're hiring for jobs,
that's
of, like,
true,
where we should post,
that's
or
true,
who we should reach out to, or those. We have
things
used
that
it
just
for, like, legit work purposes, but then we also use it for the memoirs of just, like, stories or things that happen where you're like, I want to never forget this.
Well, the thing that makes it so good for the grocery list is the same thing that makes it so good as for the memoirs. You only think of these things when you're like between the subway and your office, and you're definitely not going to open up a Google note, and you're definitely, or
a Google Drive,
and you're definitely,
yeah,
not going to,
yeah,
remember it by the time you get to,
yeah,
wherever you're going.
Totally.
And that's why that's like my distinction between the use of a Google Doc and a shared note.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Yeah. Pretty life changing. I mean, all of my things on my list today are life changing, but this one also really is. For contact lens wearers, the,
yeah,
most annoying thing ever is bringing,
besides touching your eyeballs.
It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, I don't think it would bother me.
I mean, taking them out every night is annoying, but then
like,
it also,
yeah,
force. No, it's not even the touching. It's, I just want to go to bed immediately. I don't want to have to do
Remember
things.
Remember that time when you slept in your contacts for like how long?
I'll never forget it. I got an ulcer on my eyeball.
But how long did you sleep in your contacts?
For most of my early, like late teens and early 20s, I never, like, I would, like, take them out, like, I don't know, like, I can't even, it's so ridiculous. I would only take them out every couple of days. Like, it didn't occur to me that this was something
that was,
like,
a real problem.
Yeah, I was just like, whatever, because I'd slept with them in and then woken up and it was fine. And so I was like, I'm gonna keep on doing this. And then I got an ulcer on my eyeball.
Oh my God. Then remember very recently, yeah. A few of your high school friends and I both all sent you the same article that was in the New York Times about this woman who I can't, you'll have to help me.
She had like 700 contact lenses in her eyes.
She'd never taken them out, but like just kept putting them in.
She kept putting them in.
Well, because she was getting like headaches or something, yeah. Or she was like, she was basically like, something's not right. Yeah. And she went to the eye doctor and they're like, ma'am, you have 700 contact lenses in this eye. That's what the pressure's from. And everyone immediately sent it to Claire.
Well, when I went to the eye doctor, when I had that ulcer on my eye, she was like, you need to start taking your contact lenses out every single night. And if you come to see me again and this is a problem, I'm going to stop seeing you as a patient because that's how important this is. These are your eyes. And like, I refuse to like control this behavior.
Rejection by a doctor is like a really specific form of rejection.
But she did.
Are you still seeing her?
No, she's on the Upper West Side. Okay. I can't. Okay.
So you broke up with her.
That's right.
Okay.
I've also never seen an eye doctor twice because I'm like, who? It literally works across the street from my office.
You can do this right now.
But she also did tell me a ton of stories that like basically made me look like a very good contact lens wearer because she had a similar story.
So she made you feel good about yourself somehow.
Yeah, she had a similar story of some college kid who came in and was like, I'm just like, I just feel like my eyesight's really bad. And she was like, did you even know you had contact lenses in? Anyway, this is all beside the point because the real point is that buying contact lens solution when you travel is so annoying because the contact lens solution industry is so evil and insidious that obviously they sell the travel things in 2 ounce sizes, yeah. Which is so rude.
Yeah.
And it's so expensive and you can't just, I thought that you couldn't just refill these things. Well, some hero posted a YouTube video on basically how to remove the cap on a travel-sized contact lens solution bottle so that you can refill it from your regular bottle and you don't have to keep buying these new ones. And my mind was blown because it's always the thing that I forget to buy. In fact, every year, every October, I go to Massachusetts to visit one of my high school friends. And every year when I get there, I'm like, we got to go to the drugstore because I don't have contact.
I mean,
I've
definitely gone to the drugstore with you multiple times in like LA or wherever.
Yeah, I never remember it. But then the amazing thing is that when I put this in 10 things, a customer wrote in and she was like, most people don't realize this, but contact lens solution is a medical supply. So you're allowed to bring it in more than 3 ounces. Which I was like,
this is another great tip.
Yeah, which to be honest, like no one wants to carry around the full size ones.
No,
there are
ones. But it is nice to know.
It's nice to know. And there's also ones that are in between sizes that would be good to. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I just thought I should share it on the podcast because I did get a lot of notes of gratitude from people.
And you found this by Googling it? Or how did
you? Yeah, I think I did finally just break down and was like, there has got to be a better way.
Yeah. The world must have solved for this problem.
It's like the thing, I mean, you know about my packing anxiety and how I feel like it takes
so
long.
Well, I guess the thing is, I'm like impressed that you found it by Googling it, but then you also do set aside 15 hours to pack.
Yeah.
So like, what are you going to do with all that time if not try to solve the like bigger picture travel problems?
I think that must be how I found it.
I'm pretty sure it is.
I can't remember, but yeah, I go into like a fugue state when I pack. So I can't remember.
How could you possibly recall what happened while you were packing?
That's right.
Somewhat related to this.
Very related.
Yeah, very related to what you can and cannot bring on an airplane. One of my favorite Instagram accounts ever, at TSA.
It's honestly so brilliant.
It is just the best. It like IDs, it answers questions of like, can you bring this on an airplane? Like this apple pie, can I bring it on an airplane?
But it's not like they're just doing that. They're picking like the funniest, most ridiculous questions that they get.
It is definitely have a strategy and a personality and a point of view and a take and like a voice. They also show you the knives they confiscated that day. And then they profile the TSA dogs.
And they're so funny. And it will always be like, we got a question from a follower. Can I bring my hand grenade-shaped water bottle on the plane? And it'll be like, you can, but you can't have it filled with water. And it'll be like the picture of the water bottle that's shaped like a hand grenade.
Yep.
It's really good.
So Bon Appetit recently did a profile.
How do you think that Bon Appetit decided that they were the publication to write this piece?
I think they tried to insert a lot of food people ask about bringing on planes into this. Can I bring this deep dish pizza? It was a stretch. Mm-hmm. I think they just thought the story would like this.
Someone had to write it.
Someone had to write it and doggone it, it was going to be them.
That's right.
I think was the take. Yeah. So the guy who runs the TSA social media has been doing it for like a good long while, like better part of a decade. And he's not.
Stop. Like, so you're telling me that the TSA has had a position within their organization for that long that's just social media manager?
Yeah, well, he now has a team, but he really took it upon himself. Wow. He was like an agent. He took it upon himself to like really go at the social media thing hard. He's like in his 40s or 50s. He's not like your like 24-year-old social media manager.
I would never expect someone so youthful would be able to execute an Instagram account in such a wise manner.
Exactly. He really knows what he's doing. He takes a lot of joy in it. He just like really loves his job. And now he has a team. It's very exciting and impressive. They ask like people, they have like an ask TSA thing on Instagram or on Twitter. Like there's like a lot going on. And he seems really excited about it. We'll share the article in the recap. It's very worth reading.
I love him.
It also just gives you that so much hope of being like, oh, right. Any brand can have like a point of view. Any brand can like have
would
a take.
That, would that any every brand had this good content?
Yes.
It's great. That's great.
Would you want to share your Instagram hit?
Yeah, I have to pull it up on my phone. So Joanna Aviles, I may be like putting the emphasis on the wrong
syllables
on her last name. I hope not. Has this series on Instagram. It's
she's
old
an
now.
Illustrator.
She's an
like
illustrator.
A real cool
yeah,
illustrator.
She's and you would recognize her illustrations. They show up in like the New Yorker and the New York Times and lots of cool places. You know how cool the New York Times is. Yeah.
You know, the cool kids.
So she did
it.
This series a while ago, which I recently resurfaced when we were doing our best of 10 things roundups. And it was just one of those things I was banging the table being like, I can't believe how good this is. And
you sent me like six of them. Yeah. And I was like, but also we do this with each other. Yeah.
They're just so funny. So basically, it's called the Golden Age of Instagram, and it imagines if all of these actors from the Golden Age of Hollywood had Instagram accounts, what they would be like, and then it has little illustrations to go with them. And they're all so funny and so spot on, and we were just talking about the movie Ingrid Goes West, which we haven't seen yet, but our editor Liz has, and she was describing how it gets Instagram so right, and I felt like this
totally
similarly
same way.
Does.
Yeah.
I'll read you Brigitte Bardot. I don't even remember which one is in the Brigitte Bardot, but I trust that every single one of these posts is so good that this
you
one's
don't even
be great.
Need to scream.
Yeah. Brigitte Bardot once used 18 filters on a single photo. She actually preferred to spruce up a selfie in a separate app, pushing the bounds of recognizable self-portraiture until all that remained were two coal-rimmed eyes leering out from a digital abyss. Things got out of control, excessive use of the quote-unquote baby filter, and Brigitte was forced to outsource the work to her assistant. However, she always dictated her own caption, made sure it was signed, Bisou, Brigitte. They're all really good. There's also Paul Newman, Audrey Hepburn, Kim Novak I really liked.
Ooh, yeah.
Kim Novak was very dutiful with her social media presence. She used it to let people know when a film was premiering or reveal a few behind-the-scenes shots from set. She used the words grateful and an honor frequently when describing various projects and collaborators. It should be known that Kim was not above food pics. And then it's like Audrey Hepburn obviously posted all of, or no, Marilyn Monroe posted all of these inspirational quotes. Audrey Hepburn didn't give the people what they wanted. Jane Mansfield had over 2.6 million followers and loved Instagram because it allowed her to let everyone know what she was doing all day. And it was mostly photos of her dogs. Like it just goes on. It's very good. I suggest you look
at it.
It's
wonderful. It's wonderful. It's really wonderful. I feel like a best of 10 things episode would not be complete without snacks.
Definitely not.
My favorite chip right now, which I feel like for both of us is a pretty big honor. I think
huge honor.
I also feel like the older I've gotten, the more I'm into like a salty snack.
Oh, yeah.
Like a chip.
Congratulations. Welcome. You were always into like a sweeter thing.
Yeah. No, yeah, I feel like my tastes have changed.
Very sophisticated.
And my
you.
Favorite chip right now are the Zapp's Voodoo Heat chips.
They're really good.
They are really good.
But here's my question for
you.
Yeah,
tell me.
You're calling them your favorite chip. I think they're incredible. Do you like them more than the all-dressed chip?
I think I do.
Wow.
But they like really have similar flavor profiles.
They do.
So Zapp's is like a Louisiana brand. Mm-hmm. It's like very like It's like one of those like local food companies that people like seriously sweat, but that is now everywhere. Much more broadly available. The flavor is somewhere between salt and vinegar.
This is making me so hungry. My stomach just like opened up and was so ready.
I know. Salt and vinegar.
Yeah.
Barbecue.
Yeah.
And jalapeno. Combination of those three.
Yeah.
Which the difference for
me. And it's like a honey barbecue.
A honey barbecue. I think that is exactly right. I think it is salt and vinegar, honey barbecue.
It's
and
I'm so really sorry. Hungry in my mouth.
So I would say the difference between this chip and the Ruffles All Dressed chip, which is your favorite chip right now, which is a recent Canadian import.
Yeah.
And it basically just means like all the flavors.
Yeah. No, that's 100. Yeah.
Is that it doesn't have the spice. The like all dressed doesn't have the spice.
Okay.
And I do like a little bit. Yeah. I also feel like the spice maybe helps me stop eating it eventually.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because the all dressed chip, I could just.
I don't have that problem.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
My mouth is literally watering. it was really hard for me to leave the all dressed chip out of the best of 10 things snack theme.
I had a chip. Yeah.
No, well, I had a chip too. I put the chickpea chip in.
It's a different kind of chip.
I just felt like the chickpea chip was something that was more readily available because the all-dressed chip is Canadian and only available.
And we ordered it on the internet.
We ordered it on Amazon. It's only available in select U.S. markets.
Yeah. We ordered like a 36-pack for the office.
Ruby has been hiding them from us.
I know where they are.
Which I didn't know until I went up to her one day. And I was like, hey, Ruby, do we have any more all-dressed chips? And she goes... She looks at me like very coyly and she goes, how desperate are you? And I was like, really desperate? And she goes and basically like moves a full length mirror and like then takes out a box. Like it was a whole thing.
Yeah, they're in
thing.
Like a big bin somewhere. The wonderful thing is that like to hide things in our office right now
is so easy.
It's so easy because our office is in such disarray.
Yeah.
That like. To hide something is a real joke.
I actually really appreciated it because I think part of Ruby's issue with the all dressed chips is that they're potato chips. They're not good for you. And she likes that we generally have very healthy snacks in the office, which I feel like most people who work at Of a Kind or have worked at Of a Kind have always been like, why do you insist on only having nuts in the office?
Yeah, totally.
So I like that Ruby is encouraging of our healthier ways.
Our snacks are definitely one of those like tests to be like, are you really hungry? Like
that's
if you're
exactly
really hungry,
right.
You'll eat one of these things.
Which is also very economical.
Totally.
That's exactly right. If you're really hungry, you will eat the pretzels or the almonds.
Yeah, totally.
Or the trail mix.
Yeah.
Okay, my snack. Ugh, I'm really into this one too. I feel very strongly about this, and I feel similarly like I feel to Golden Age of Instagram. Like I want to bang the table, and everybody needs to know about it.
Yeah.
So you know, pão de queijo.
It's a Brazilian tapioca like bread thing. So it's naturally gluten free.
Yes. Although I think some are made with tapioca flour and some are made with yucca flour.
Fine.
I'm not sure what the crotch is. Yes,
great.
But it's naturally gluten-free and they usually or
they
always have cheese in them.
The queijo is cheese.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah.
So I'm going to guess they always have cheese.
Yeah, they
in
always
them.
Have cheese.
They're the best thing. And they're kind of hard to find because, I don't know, not that many
Brazilian
people
food has not gotten it's due.
That's right.
Yeah.
But whenever I go to, there's a cafe on 6th Avenue, which I can't remember the name of, O Cafe, and then Brigadeiro Bakery, and then
Oka on Mulberry Street in Soho.
They all have them, and that's always like my treat. Well, the geniuses at a company called U-Buns have made a freezer version.
And theirs are Yuka, because the U?
Those
Y-U?
Are Yuka, yeah, Y-U-C-C-A. They sell them at Foragers, and I'm sure a bunch of other places, but look it up, because they have stockists on their website. They come in a bag. They're frozen. Literally, all you do is put them on the pan and then put them in the oven for 20 minutes. And they are so delicious. And guests are so impressed.
I've had them at your house like twice in the last 3 weeks. And they were delicious both times. Yeah. And the second time, you were worried that we stopped paying attention to them and that they burned. And they still tasted delicious.
They still tasted good when I overcooked them. They're one of those things where it's like a subtle taste of cheese.
Yeah.
And they're very soft and chewy on the inside.
Yeah.
Like almost like a Play-Doh. I don't know. It's it's so good.
It really is.
And you can
doughy.
Tell yourself it's doughy, and you can tell yourself it's healthy.
Yeah, totally. Way more than you can with the Zapp's chips.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know, but chips are gluten-free too.
Yeah, but
potato
they're
chips.
Deep fried slices of potato with fake seasoning on them.
No sugar though. Wait, did we do the thing where we said that that sweatshirt is 10% off with the code a few things.
We did, but you were so impressed with my sell. You were so impressed with my sell of fandom without teams.
That say it again. It was so good.
It's a perfect way to proclaim that you're a fan without, or to claim being a fan without. I'm really not doing a good job the second time.
You were
time.
Like, it's a great way to say I'm a fan without having to say team.
Yeah, it's a great way to say fan without team.
It was so good.
Thank you. I did it way better
well,
half
guess
an
what?
Hour ago.
If you want to say fan without saying team, you can use the code a few things for 10% off that sweatshirt.
Yeah, do it. While you're at it, send us some emails with things you want us to hear about on a few things, at ofakind.com.
Follow us on Instagram at ofakind, Twitter ofakind.
All that
no
stuff.
One's doing the other things. Just follow us on Instagram.
Yeah, just follow
That's
us
where
on Instagram.
We are.
Yeah. And listen to back episodes of the podcast. Leave us reviews on the podcast app on iTunes.
It's very helpful if you leave us reviews on iTunes. It helps get the word out.
Yeah, that's the show.
Thanks.
Bye.
So many of you guys write in and ask about our theme song. It is called Butterfield East, and it is composed and performed by the Soulful Saints.
You can check them out over at dallarecords.com. That was a HeadGum Podcast.